vengeance belongeth. Show thyself, lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and they murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it or pay attention. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? And he that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall he not correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? I trust the Lord will add his blessing to this portion of his word. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we stand before you this morning with expectant hearts of what you have for us. It's our desire that what is said and done will bring glory and honor to you. Certainly, it's my desire that it will be the truth, and it will be the truth that you would have spoken. I pray that you might fill me with your Spirit, enable me to get through the material, even in the right amount of time. I pray, Lord, that we would be able to put from our minds those distractions that would interfere with what you want to teach us and show us this morning by your Holy Spirit using the Word of God. Lord, again, we pray for our nation. We think, Lord, of these times in which we live, how rampant sin is, how cold people's hearts are toward the things of you. And I pray, Lord, that you would quicken our hearts by the truth of your word. Lord, may we not only know the word, but may we be doers of the word, not just hearers of it. Show us what you would have us to do, Lord, especially in light of our topic today, how we can be children of yours that honor you, glorify you, stand for the truth, and stand unashamedly on the basis of your word. We pray, Lord, for those that wanted to be here today, but honestly couldn't. I pray that you would enable them in whatever it is that has kept them away, whether it's sickness, work, or whatever unavoidable thing it was, that you would just minister to their needs this morning. But Lord, I pray for those that could have been here today but chose not to. Nothing interfered except their own hearts. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would bring conviction. Remind them of the wrong choice. Pray that you would impress upon their hearts the mistake they made, and work in their hearts that they would make a different choice the next time they have opportunity. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your word. We thank you for direction you give us in some of these relevant topics of the day that we find going on in our world. And we thank you, Lord, that you have not left us to guess, but you have shown us truth. And we just wait upon you. In your name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Today I want us to take a look at, as far as I know and as far as my plans are, one last example in the series that we have been looking at for 6 or 7 weeks on some of the woes of our nation. How our nation treats its most vulnerable citizens. Who are our most vulnerable citizens? The unborn children. January 1973, one of America's darkest days, if not the darkest day in her history. That day in January of 73, when the Supreme Court legalized the murder of a woman's unborn baby by means of abortion, authorizing that literally until the day the baby is born, citing it, among other things, as a woman's right. But here's a question. What about the right of the unborn child? Doesn't it have a right to be born? Does one's treatment of these little people matter? In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, you don't need to turn to it, but it states that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach or a shame or a disgrace to any people. And the U.S. of A. tops the list of sin being a reproach to us. We're going to attempt this morning to show from Scripture why that decision that the Supreme Court made in 1973 has the potential disastrous effect, the potential for disastrous effects upon our nation, effects which I believe we are already seeing play out in front of our eyes. If you like to take notes, this is going to be a simple one for you. Your outline is going to have two main headings with some subpoints. The first one is going to be the efforts used, and the second one is going to be truth ignored. That ought to be pretty easy to follow, shouldn't it? As we think about the efforts that were used to bring this tragedy about in our nation, let's look at what happened to bring us to this place. If you like to take notes, I would suggest, as far as efforts used, A. Here's what they did. They legalized their intentions. They made legal what they were doing. In Psalm 94, verse 20 and 21, in the New King James Bible, listen to what those verses say. Shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, listen to that phrase, to devise evil by law. They They pass laws making what they are doing legal, but it's not right, but it's legal. So nobody can interfere with it. Shall the throne of iniquity which devises evil by law have fellowship with you? They gather together against the life of the righteous, and listen to this, and they condemn innocent blood. They make laws so that they can legalize condemning innocent blood. That's why I've called, as we're looking at efforts used, what have they done? They've legalized their intention. Let's work to get some laws passed so that we can legalize what we are doing. Then we can practice. Then we can set up our clinics. Then we can offer to women this service. And no one can stop us because we have it legalized. What's their goal? Back there in verse 21 of Proverbs 94, it is to condemn innocent blood. The proponents succeeded in getting enough support back then to, quote unquote, get the law on their side. So the decision was passed. The clinics were set up. The doctors could practice, do, fulfill, perform. And I'm not doing anything wrong. It's perfectly legal. Look, the Supreme Court passed the issue. They made that determination, Roe versus Wade, back there in January of 1973. But how could they do that? Some would ask. How can you pass laws? How can you pass laws legalizing, terminating that precious little life that is within the woman's body? How can you make that legal? B, if you're taking your notes, B, they neutralized the severity. They neutralized the severity of what they were doing. First, they legalized their intention and they got the law and the courts on their side. But in order to kind of answer and silence the people who were concerned and offended and were greatly heavy-hearted because of this, they began their process of let's just neutralize the severity of it. And so we began to hear the testimony of their experts, their medical experts, before the TV cameras, in the news, press conferences, and so on. And they would have their experts stand and testify, this is not a baby. This is just tissue. This is just tissue within the woman. We are not taking the life of a baby. We are just eliminating some unwanted tissue from the woman who asks our services. You say, well, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to know that when a woman is pregnant, she's not pregnant with just tissue inside of her. She has a little baby on the way. Well, you get enough of their experts to testify in the courts, and it's not long before the people bought into it. Oh, well, if that's the case, if it's not really a baby, if it's just this embryo or this fetus and it's not a baby yet, well, then I guess it doesn't matter, because, you know, I certainly wouldn't want to put a baby to death. Well, that'd be murder. Well, you don't have to worry about that. We're not a baby here. But Jerry and I watched a movie that we had gotten at the library. It was put together by an organization that is really pro-life. And the students in the movie were putting on like a mock trial. And in this trial, the students were trying to establish that abortion is murder. The other side was saying, oh no, it's not. And the question that was asked was this: a baby that was born, let's say on Sunday, was it alive? Was it a baby on Saturday, the day before it was born? Well, certainly it was. Okay, that baby was alive and was a baby waiting to be born on Saturday. What about on Friday? Would it have been a living baby on Friday? Of course it was. And they started going back to present their case. You know, if it's a baby on Sunday when it's born, and the courts try to argue it wasn't a baby on Saturday and so it could have been aborted, that's not sound thinking, is it? No. Well, this is what we see the proponents of this have done. They brought the experts. They tell them, you know, it's not really a baby, it's just some tissue with blood and nutrition flowing through it, but it's not a baby, so you don't have to feel guilty. You are not really taking your child's life. I like the way Paul put it in Romans chapter 1, verse 22, when he said, professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools. And that's what the other side has done. Let's put some experts in the spotlight and let them present our case. And you say, well, nobody would listen to that, would they? Yes, they did. Our society bought into it. And millions in our society today, we know, have no problem aborting a baby, do they? But because millions have no problem with it, does that make it right? Once again, what does God say about this? In Exodus 23, verse 7, In the New King James, let me read it for you. Keep yourself far from a false matter. Do not kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not justify the wicked. That's Exodus 23:7 in the New King James. It specifically states, do not kill the innocent. Those little babies are innocent. And yet our society says, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to feel bad. It's just tissue and nutrition. They're just blood and tissue, and who do they think we are? And yet, sadly, the answer to that question is just look at what America has embraced. And how many women appreciate that decision of the Supreme Court back in January of 1973. In the Old Testament law, one of those commandments, number 6, I think, simply states, thou shalt not, what's the word? Kill. In both Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5, thou shalt not kill. How much plainer can it be? Despite the words of the experts, God's word states in Genesis chapter 4, thy brother's blood cries out to me. When Cain rose up and murdered his brother, a few verses later, God said, where's your brother, Cain? How do I know? Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, your brother's blood is crying out to me. God takes life very seriously. It matters to God what people do to other human beings. I don't care what the experts say. Taking the life of that innocent little one is murder, according to God. It is killing the innocent. So, we're looking at this first point, the efforts that they used to get their agenda marketed here in our nation. They legalized their intention. They got the courts to pass a law. The next thing we saw they did, they, with carefully worded language, they tried to neutralize the severity of it. See, if you're taking notes, they try to justify their activity. They try to justify their activity. What do you mean? Once again, they have their experts which give their testimony. They bring their people to the news conferences. They push hard and emphasize a woman has a right to do with her own body what she wants. It's her right. They push the importance of this is a woman's health issue, and so we have legalized it for the good of women's health. They point out how deserving a woman is to have this option when she should choose it, because everyone knows how inconvenient at a certain time an unwanted pregnancy can be. This just didn't fit my plans. This messed up what we were working toward. Not now. And so they try to justify their activity with all kinds of sugar-coated platitudes. And because they convince the American people, you know, that's right. I really ought to have a right to do with my body as I please as a woman. Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to go through that again. You know, enough's enough. I've got X number of children. I don't want another one. Not at this stage in my life. Messes up all of my plans. So they built their clinics. Organizations were formed. Physicians are in place to assist and provide for the woman's welfare and happiness. Once again, though, I want us to consider what God's Word has to say. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 25 in the New King James, cursed is the one who takes a bribe in the New King James, reward in the Straight King James, to do what? To slay an innocent person. What's your point, Pastor? My point is, think of the millions of dollars that have been paid to hospitals, abortion clinics, doctors, nurses, staff since January of 1973, and God says, cursed is the one that takes reward to end an innocent life. We've cited only three examples of the efforts that have been used by the other side in the time that we have looked at this morning. And we saw those efforts were legalize their attention, their intentions, neutralize the severity of it, come up with a story that convinces people, and then try to justify their activity. You have a right to this. Every woman ought to have that choice. Let's consider it, though, differently. And our second point that I told you at the outset, let's see number two, the truth that has been ignored. Truth that has been ignored. A. Here's a truth that we as Christians know, but basically you might say, well, what does the United States people care about that? Sadly, they don't care. But you know what? We as Christians are living in the midst of this, aren't we? We have the truth. We know the truth. We uphold the truth. And we ought to give the truth. A. Innocent bloodshed defiles a land. Innocent bloodshed defiles a land. You say, is that just your idea, Pastor, or do you have any support? Glad you asked. Numbers 35, verse 33 answers your question. Numbers 35, 33, it was given in the chapter where the cities of refuge were established, where somebody would take the life of someone accidentally, and they had places they could go for protection until there could be a trial to find out, was this really accidental or was it intentional, which would have been murder. In that context, we find in verse 33, so you shall not pollute the land wherein you are, for blood it defileth the land. And the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. Verses 37 and 38 of Psalm 106 tell us this. The circumstances are a little bit different, but listen, the result was the same. In Psalm 106, verse 37, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. The context of what the psalmist is referring to here is child sacrifices to the false gods. They would offer up their child on an altar, burn them. But you know, is it any different in the United States since 1973? Those children are not laid up on an altar and a fire lit upon them, but they are sacrificed upon the altar to the God of my own right, to the God of I don't want to be bothered by this, to the God of it's not really a baby, it's just an inconvenience and it's no big deal. You substitute, but the result is the same. The blood is being shed, and in God's eyes, blood pollutes the land. This has been going on legally in our country since 1973, 83, 93, 03, 13. It's been going on 43 years. What's been happening to the welfare? I don't mean the welfare system, but I mean what has been happening to the general tone and spirit of our nation in the last 43 years? Are things getting better nationally? Are they getting better politically? Are they getting better in the communities, in the suburbs, and in these large cities? You'd have to have your head in the sand to say, yeah, you know, there's never been a better time in our nation. I think it's safe to say our nation is at some of the worst we have seen it. Could there be a connection I believe there is. The Supreme Court says you can take that life and you don't have to feel guilty about it, but God says, cursed is the one who takes the life of an innocent person, and blood defiles the land. B, here's another truth they are ignoring. The first one was that the American people don't realize what we do as believers, that innocent bloodshed defiles, but B, the unborn are people. They are children. I don't care how old they are. Genesis chapter 25 is a good example for those that say, oh, you know what, you can abort those right up to the end, and you don't have to, you're not taking the life of a child. It's just that living tissue that, in Genesis chapter 25, beginning at verse 20, Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian of Padanaram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated or prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren. She couldn't have children. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Now, what does verse 22 say? And the what struggled within her. What's it say? Children. Our Supreme Court, our doctors, the heads of these abortion clinics, they would say, they're not children. They're not children yet. God's Word tells us what's going on there. The children struggled within her. Thank God for His Word. You know, as believers, we don't have to be clueless in this. We don't have to take a back seat and say, I just wish God's Word was a little bit more plain on this issue. God's Word is plain. It's murder. It's human beings. It's children within there. Bloodshed defiles the land. God couldn't make it any more plain. And the children struggled within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in your womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from your bowels or your body. The one people shall be stronger than the other, and the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. You didn't find any of this. Well, you know, you're uncomfortable because you've just got this embryo. It's not a baby. You don't have to worry about it being a child. Just, no, it's children within. There are other considerations concerning a woman with child in Scripture, not just this one. Quickly, turn with me. 2 Kings chapter 8. 2 Kings chapter 8. Look at verse 12. Hazael said, why weepeth my Lord? And he answered, because I know the evil that thou wilt do unto the children of Israel. Their strongholds wilt thou set on fire. Their young men wilt thou slay with the sword, and wilt dash their children. And then what's the last phrase? And rip up their women with embryos rip up their women with whom in there? With child. Look at 2 Kings 15. But all the experts, they've convinced the American people it's not really a baby. It's not a baby. God help our nation. 2 Kings 15, verse 16. Then Menahem smote Tifsa and all that were therein, and the coast thereof from Tirzah, because they opened not to him. Therefore he smote it, and all the women therein that were with child he ripped up. It's pretty plain, isn't it? Hosea chapter 13. Hosea chapter 13, verse 16. Hosea 13, 16 says, Samaria shall become desolate because she hath rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword. Their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women with child shall be ripped up. Judgment's coming. Amos 1, verse 13. It says this, Thus saith the Lord, For three transgressions of the children of Ammon, and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have ripped up the women with child of Gilead, that they might enlarge their border. In each instance, that which was within the woman is referred to as what? A child, a person, a human being. Not just some handful of tissue that it doesn't matter if you dispose of it. See, in our outline here of the truth that is ignored, see, God hates this bloodshed. God hates this bloodshed. John, toward the close of his lesson this morning, gave this verse, Proverbs 6:17. It says this, 16 and 17, these six things the Lord hates. The Lord what? Dislikes. The Lord, it aggravates him. These six things the Lord, what's the word? Hates, yea, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, that was John's point. A lying tongue. Here's my point. Hands that shed, what's it say? Innocent blood. God hates that. Those babies are innocent. But our nation has systematically murdered millions and millions of them since 1973. And you see, this is a truth that is ignored. God hates this kind of bloodshed. Innocent, the taking of the life of an innocent person. Remember in Exodus 23, verse 7, it says this, Keep yourself far from a false matter. Do not kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not justify the wicked. God has made it so plain. He has given his mind on this. society is guilty by virtue of not because they didn't have any idea. Society is guilty because society has turned away from the truth. God has given us the answers. D, one last truth that is ignored. Very simply, I just call this one, abortion. Having said all this, abortion is murder. Exodus 21, 22, and 23. Exodus 21, 22, and 23. If men fight and hurt a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, in other words, the baby doesn't die, he shall surely be punished according as the woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if any harm follows, in other words, the baby dies, then you shall give life for life. A life was lost, a life must be given. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. That was in Exodus 21, 22, and 23. The Liberty Study Bible has a footnote on that. And it says that verse 22 has been mistakenly interpreted as referring to a miscarriage. The text literally reads, so that her children go or come out. The plural for child is used, making it clear that a human being is in view, and the plural is generic to cover the contingency of multiple births. Thus, the fetus in the law code is pictured as a human being, and feticide is indeed murder. There's the truth of it. There's what God's word has. Abortion is murder. So what do we do? What do we do? It's protected by law. We can't do anything. We can oppose the law. We can speak out against it any time we have the opportunity. We can spread the truth. Get a copy of this message from Joel, a CD. You say, boy, Pastor, you know you had some verses in there that I had never even heard or thought of before. I wish I would have written them down. Get a hold of it. Pass this on to some person who is being misled and is considering this horrible option. Spread the truth. Hang on to the truth. Support those who stand for the truth, whether it is a candidate in an election, whether it is an organization that sponsors chocolate walks like some of our people are going to be involved in a few weeks. The Pregnancy Help Clinic in Brighton, they oppose this sin. That's why we like to have the baby bottles the first of the year to collect change and support them in their fight against the murder of innocent children, and to get out the good news that mom, don't abort that child. Mom, watch one of the What do they call those when they take them and you can see those little rascals wiggling around? What are they? Huh? Ultrasounds. I'll tell you what. You watch those and you see those little rascals moving around. You see them sucking their thumbs, and then the experts tell us, that's not really a baby. That's not really a child. And you know what? For your own health and welfare and your own happiness, you can abort that right up to the time that it's born of natural causes, and you don't have to be the bit sorry or feel guilty about it. Heaven help our nation. We need to pray for our land. We need to pray that somehow, some way, God would work in hearts that horrible decision would be overturned. Pray for God's mercy on our nation. We don't deserve His grace anymore. Mercy, what's that? Not getting what you really deserve. I think that's all we can pray for anymore as this nation. God, be merciful to us. We don't deserve your favor. Jeremiah 14:7 says, O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us. That could have been this morning's headline on the news. Our iniquities testify against us. Do thou it for thy name's sake, O Lord. For your glory, can you overturn, can you stop this horrible activity that is going on? Our title this morning was Out of Sight, but Never Out of Mind. Millions and millions of babies that we'll never see live to grow up in this nation that have been sacrificed on the altar of a woman's right. God has seen every one of those lives taken. And blood defiles the land. And the only way that the defilement can be taken away is life for life, is what the Old Testament principle was. This tragedy must be stopped. God help us that know Him and His Word. Spread the truth. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Thank you, Father, for your word this morning. Thank you that you have made so plain your thoughts on this matter. Lord, there is no such thing as an insignificant life in your sight. Our world tries to make insignificant these young ones that will never live to grow up. Oh God, we confess our guilt as a nation of this terrible sin. And Lord, I ask for your name's sake, would you be merciful to us? Help us as Christians to stand unashamedly for the truth. Help us as Christians to give forth the truth. We ask this for your glory, Lord. And Lord, if there is going to be anybody listening to this message that is considering getting involved in this terrible tragedy, this sin of murdering the life of an innocent child, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would stop them. Open their eyes to the truth, Lord. Each and every life matters to you. And we thank you and we praise you for this in your name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a couple of times, number 394, because it's so short. My desire to be like Jesus, my desire to be like Him. I trust that's your heart's prayer. Let's stand and sing number 394 two times right in a row.